I want to speak to you today about the presence of God. Can everybody hear okay?
No. Kind of low.
Yeah. I've got my inside voice today instead of my normal outside voice, the preacher's voice, so turn up just a little bit. Is that better? Okay. When we think of the presence of God, often we think of something external. Even though we know He indwells us, we think of something kind of invading the physical realm, the miracles, the supernatural, and that's all a part of it. But this morning I want us to focus on the presence of God being the Holy Spirit that indwells us. We carry His presence within us all the time. And that is more important, I think, that we become aware of and develop a more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. A lot of believers are taught to receive the Holy Spirit, move in a few gifts, but it kind of ends there. And really, I think we've just scratched the surface as far as experiencing the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's a difference between God's presence being with us, God's presence leading us. And you know, as human beings, we can only fight one battle at a time, can't we? And I think the problem we have as Christians is we engage in the wrong fight. God's presence being with us is His unconditional love for us. He doesn't give His presence and then pull it away again. Amen. Yet most believers are fighting the battle of trying to gain acceptance that they already have, trying to keep God's favor as if they do something wrong, they lose it. And all of this, all we're doing is we're basically fighting the lies of the enemy. I want us to look at a few scriptures on this. His presence with us, in us, is unconditional. Why are we always trying to turn something that's unconditional into conditional? Why is it we look at the new covenant and try to make it like the old covenant? You can't do that, but yet we consistently are trying to somehow bring it into some of the old and the bondage of the old. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, I think the biggest problem we have in believing that God is always with us has to do with our human nature, our sins, our failures. Think about it. There are certain things you can do wrong. There are certain patterns of thought. And even though you know you're forgiven, when those things happen, it's like switches goes on. And you think, uh-oh, we have our certain rituals we have to follow to kind of gain God's favor again. I think everyone has certain things like that. So the theory, God loves me, He always loves me, is great. But there are certain things in our own nature that bring us back under the old, where we think that God has left us and we have to do something to make God happy again. Hebrews 10, he says, let's see, what verse am I at? Verse 12. He, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. And then again in verse 17, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. What God has done for us in New Covenant, and I know we all know this, but it just needs to impact us in a greater way. We are forgiven. That is our state. Past, present, future, you are forgiven. God does not look at you through a lens of what you do right or wrong. That's the old covenant. It's unconditional. So when we sin, when we blow it, He doesn't pull His presence from us. He still sees us in His Son. He still loves us the same. We have those triggers, things that make us feel guilty and condemned. And what we do is we go through our little rituals of saying, okay, I've got to get back in God's good graces. And we don't realize by listening to that lie, we're losing our awareness of His love for us, of His presence being in us. He doesn't leave us, we just lose our awareness of where He is. Now, am I saying we don't need to repent? No. Being forgiven doesn't mean you don't repent. What is repentance all about? It's turning a new direction. Repentance is turning from the old into something new. A heart that knows that he or she is forgiven can be the best repenter. But if we think we're continually in a hole and we have to gain God's acceptance, then our repentance is mixed with a lot of guilt and striving and self-condemnation. It's not that effective. Repentance is a way of life. Still on? Okay. Being forgiven is something that was accomplished at the cross for us. That we have is a gift. Because of that grace and unconditional love, we can repent and continue to grow. Some other verses in John 14, 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. Another place he says, until the end of the age, I'll be with you forever. Romans 8, what can separate us from the love of Christ? I mean, God makes it very clear that his presence in us is unconditional. It will not be removed. We need to stop fighting that battle. Now, what battle should we be engaged in? The one that involves his presence leading us. That isn't unconditional. God doesn't force his will on you, any of us. We've got to cooperate with the presence of God and saying, yes, I want you to lead my life in the way you want it to go. That's the battle we need to be engaged in. Our will is involved with that. And when we talk about being led by his presence, we're talking about growth. And what does it really involve? It's moving from fear into love. If you look at any area of growth in your life, inner growth, where you've made progress spiritually, some fears have died away, and God's love is more real to you. And in that process, our minds are renewed. How do we move from fear to love? Through trust. Because when God starts shaking things and we say yes to his will, what's he shaking? The fears. Fears keep us in prison. They keep us frozen. Someone that's bound by fear doesn't grow because they're in one place. But when God starts to shake that, and we put our trust in the one that's doing the shaking, we don't like being shaken, but we trust the one that's doing the shaking, we grow into love. Perfect love casts out fear. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about growth. Only the Holy Spirit can lead us out of ourselves and into the destiny that we have in him. There's a battle over this, being led by his Spirit, isn't it? We say, well, we want the Spirit to lead us, but what does that mean? The problem with that is, if his Spirit is leading my life, my own thoughts aren't. That's where the rub is. I like the idea of his Spirit leading as long as his Spirit flows with the way I think about things. But I have a feeling, I think all of us from our own experience can attest that that's not the way things work. You remember in Matthew 4 when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness? And one of the tests, it's funny, he's testing him over these things we're talking about today. If you're the Son of God, God had just said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Unconditional love. The devil's trying to get at that. But the third test is, he takes Jesus up on the hill and he says, see all the kingdoms of the world? Worship me and I'll give them to you. Now, in the destiny that Jesus had, they all would belong to him. But the way into that destiny was the way of the cross. So it wasn't a matter of saying, okay, the devil can give me this, I'm supposed to have it. You know, the means justify, or the end, how's it go? The means justify the end? Whatever. It's got to be the right process. You can't just say, this is what I'm entitled to. I can get there any way I want. You can't go the way of the thief and the robber. There's only one way that the Spirit leads us into our destiny. And that's how we identify with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, obviously, when we talk about a battle over being led by his presence, well, of course it's a battle. It involves the cross. It involves our thinking, our ways being crossed out. And God taking us away, we would not go. That battle, we need to say, okay, I'm fully engaged in that. Not my will, but thy will be done. When we look at what Jesus emphasized before he left the earth, it's interesting to me. what people say you need to have. How do you walk with God? And we just have books and books about, well, you got to have this. You got to have, be rightly aligned with apostles and prophets and all these things. They're all good things that are in the scriptures. Here Jesus is going to leave. And he has a handful of people, really. What, 120 ended up in that room? Out of all the people that heard him? They're not prepared. Are they? I mean, in our thinking, they think there's no way. You shouldn't leave yet. These guys haven't graduated from kindergarten. They need a college degree in things of the Spirit. They still haven't recovered from you going to the cross. Yet he says, one thing you need, the Holy Spirit. He left. That's all he said. Just go and get filled with the Spirit. He breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We make issues out of everything. But I want to tell you something. The one thing that we need to move forward in our destiny, it's not finding the right church with the right ministries and the right this and finding the right books, as good as any of those things can be. You need to have and know the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. And that's the only reality that can lead you into your destiny in God. And I want us to refer to something, you know, turn with me to Acts chapter 21 right now. We're going to look at Paul. Where am I? And these are scriptures that I actually recently read, and they just come back and just hit me in a whole new way. In church, it's emphasized that people need to be sheep, right? It's true. Yet, we look at sheep and we see it kind of in a one-dimensional way. Sheep are submissive. They just follow. Whatever the leader does, the sheep follow. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep know my voice. Amen. Another they will not follow. So it's not just this meek submission. A sheep becomes a lion when a false voice is trying to lead. Sheep are to have a strength that says no to every voice that is not the Spirit of God. That's something we haven't done well in church, have we? We bring people in, and through whatever means, we got to get everybody conformed, and you know, you got to follow orders, and submission's a wonderful thing, but not if people are not growing to hear his voice. Right. We don't need people submitting to institutions or just the voice of man. We need people learning the voice of the Lord. You need that quality of a lion that when something false is coming through, you know you have a right to say, no, I'm not going that way. So coming in and following our destiny, following the Holy Spirit, is developing a deeper relationship with his voice and the confidence to follow his voice. Now, the example is Paul. And bear with me on this. This is when Paul is going to go to Jerusalem, and then after that he ends up in Rome. And I'm just going to read some verses, and you probably remember these from a few weeks back. In chapter 21, verse 4, and after looking up the disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. And let's see, I need to go to verse 11, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and says, this is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Then Paul answered, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? Am I not ready only not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus? And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, the will of the Lord be done. Paul was surrounded by spiritual people that prophetically saw what would happen to him. He saw that. He didn't argue and say, you guys are not, you know, you're way off base here. What are you doing? He knew what they said was true. He heard something else that they couldn't hear. That God wanted him to go and suffer. And the route that he went. What hit me, and I hope this is something you ponder. There are things about your destiny that you're not going to hear from anyone else. Prophets, apostles, you can surround yourselves with spiritual ministries. There are things that will only be revealed to you in your intimate relationship with the Father. Like Paul. What they saw was accurate. They could not understand what the Father wanted from him. Only Paul knew that. And they finally got it enough to say, the will of the Lord be done. When they knew they couldn't persuade him. Now in our thinking, we would look at this and say, Paul, you're a great apostle. Let's find a safe church for you. You've started so many churches. Persecution's a bad thing. We got to keep you around. Look at the word you're bringing. Got to get you a website and got to promote you. You know, think about today what we'd be thinking. But the Father wanted something different. The only one that could hear that was Paul. Now we look at that and you think, okay, I get it. Yeah, Paul heard from the Father. He understood things that others didn't see. Even the spiritual prophets that were with him. Ephesians chapter 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. You know, we get that, we believe that. And we say, that's good for Paul. When you look in the mirror, why doesn't it work for you? Can you say it with the same assurance? You need to be able to. This is not a promise for certain people. God doesn't want a close relationship with leaders and not with other people. We've created all that garbage. Yes. Leaders were given, Jesus made it very clear, leaders were given to bring people into intimacy with the Lord. Yes. They weren't given so they could have an intimate relationship and everybody follow them. It didn't work well with Moses, did it? The Israelites going in, they didn't do too well with that. We need to understand that the reason the Holy Spirit's in your life is so that you can hear those intimate things from the Father about your destiny that nobody else can tell you. There are people today that run from one conference to another, one prophetic word to another. Good words. And yet it never satisfies. They got to get another one. They got to get another one. Why? Because God has to speak personally. You can have a book full of prophetic words that cannot take the place of his voice in an intimate way with your heart. This wasn't just for Paul, it's for all of us. A lot of people are waiting to have their destiny revealed by leaders. We've been conditioned with that, and I want to say this again. We need a revelation of why leadership and authority is in our life, and we need it fresh from the Father. And we need to be healed of a lot of religious conditioning that is not promoting growth. Not only that, you remember Jesus said to the Pharisees, he goes, you don't enter the kingdom of God yourself and you block others from doing it. A lot of our wrong ideas about authority are like a barrier that inhibit growth. We need that sheep quality you have that hears the voice of God. You need that lion that just says an end of all that stuff, no more. You have access to everything God wants for you. There's only one mediator, that's Jesus Christ. He made that very, very clear. We haven't done a good job in church with this, have we? So we need the Holy Spirit to make it very, very real to us. Leadership, our views of it, how authority works, it's all going to change the more the kingdom of God invades and the more the religious spirit begins to die out. One other thing on this, if you go into chapter 27, you find Paul, you remember, on his way to Rome, and there's a shipwreck, and he ends up on an island, and of course, God's power is displayed, the asp that bites him doesn't kill him, and the people are amazed, and a whole adventure comes out that Paul was not even anticipating. When we're led by the Spirit, and not by our own minds, there are things that God brings into our life that we haven't even anticipated. You know, who wants to, you know, if you're going to plan a cruise, nobody plans a cruise hoping for a shipwreck, right? I mean, his cruise to Rome was severely interrupted. But when you're led by the Spirit, everything works for good. And you notice Paul, when that shipwreck was occurring, I don't see him panicking. Remember he told him beforehand, he said, listen guys, we shouldn't be doing this right now. I've seen there's going to be a great loss and a loss of life. Well, it ended up there wasn't a loss of life. They didn't heed his word. But here's Paul just plugged into the presence of God, knowing that he's led by the Spirit of God. And it gives them a confidence that whatever circumstances come up, it's okay. God will speak to them. God will see them through it. What if he hadn't gone to Rome? You know, it's interesting. You think about that. What if Paul had just set up shop somewhere? You know, in Rome, it's and this is debated. It's debate. You know, they're debating what books Paul actually wrote. I happen to believe he wrote what it says he wrote. You know, I don't get into all this stuff about who the real author is. I think it's Paul. But from Rome, I've read different places. I wrote this down somewhere. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. Some pretty powerful books. You think, how can that be God's will? This mighty apostle goes to Rome. He's basically in house imprisonment. He spends couple years there just preaching the word. We don't know what happens afterwards. Some think he died right then. Some think he lived a few years longer. He was martyred either in 62 or probably 67 AD. That's not a glorious finish. See, it's how we think about ministry, isn't it? Got to be in the show, in the lights, and popular. We got to promote. Here's Paul. He knew exactly what God wanted and where God wanted him. And he was set to do it and content to do it. We all need that assurance from the Father. And I know when we talk about hearing God's voice, there is a real battle with that. It's a lot easier to let someone else be that voice for you. Why are people so easy to say, I just want to belong to a group and have someone tell me what to do? I remember in my past, I've heard leaders say things, I mean, this statements like this. You know, you just got to be submit. If you submit right to the leader, everything will be okay. That's not what Jesus said. He said, if you follow the Spirit, follow what he taught, we'll be okay. But one leader said, you know, if I go off, he was talking about the person he submitted to. He says, if he goes off a cliff, I'm going to go off a cliff. And everybody should follow me, like this loyalty. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If I go off a cliff, I hope no one else is that stupid to follow me. I mean, seriously. I hope that someone could say, David, you know, you shouldn't be doing this right now, and kind of help me not make that plunge. But you see, when we're in this mode of someone else doing it for us, why do people gravitate to that? Because it's easier. When you take responsibility for your own walk with God, that you are a sheep that personally has been destined to hear from the shepherd, there's the battle then. Oh my gosh. How do I know it's God? What if it's my own mind, right? All these things. That's the battle we should be fighting. That's the battle of faith. That's where you put your heart and say, Father, I know my mind is interfering, but I believe your voice is going to be clear. Don't go to some plan B because that's hard. I'll let someone else be the voice for me. It doesn't work that way. You're going to grow because the Holy Spirit in you is speaking to you and leading you in the destiny that God has for you. Amen. Father, stir something in our spirits. Awaken us to this powerful gift you've put within us. Help us to see through our excuses, the way we try to rationalize, and avoid the responsibility we need to have toward you. Your voice, your presence is so precious. And Lord, we say yes. We know you're with us. Let that battle be over. But Lord, we engage in the fight to be led by you. That your voice and only your voice is leading our life in the way that you want us to go. Amen.